He invited me to dance under starlight, and I said yes before I even heard the music. But this wasn't a fairy tale. It was a trap wrapped in silk and stardust. The Fae Prince didn't want my heart. He wanted my obedience. Every step I took bound me tighter. Every glance stole a piece of who I was. They said I crossed the veil willingly. But they never warned me what I'd lose on the other side. My name, my memories, my mind. Now, the only way out is to outplay the one who taught me the rules. And he doesn't know I've learned how to dance alone. Enchanted Dance with the Fae Prince is a psychological fantasy thriller about control, seduction, and the power of reclaiming yourself, one step at a time. Welcome to the skillful art of manipulation. If you haven't already, please consider following us on your favorite podcast platform. Today we present to you Enchanted Dance with the Fae Prince. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, The Invitation. They say never dance with the Fae. Not because it's dangerous, though it is. Not because you might forget who you are or where you came from, though you will. But because once you hear their music, you won't want to stop dancing. That's the part no one tells you. And me, I said yes before I even heard the first note. It started on a night like any other, which I've come to realize is exactly how most nightmares begin. Quietly, almost politely, like a knock on the door you weren't expecting but still answer out of habit. I was alone in my apartment, wrapped in a blanket that smelled faintly of peppermint tea and missed calls, scrolling through the endless void of my phone. The world outside my window was slick with rain, glistening like glass, the streetlights casting golden halos on puddles that reflected nothing I wanted to see. Then I noticed the letter. It didn't fall from the sky. It didn't materialize with a puff of smoke. It was just there, sitting on the windowsill where I was certain, nothing had been only moments ago. My first instinct wasn't fear. It was curiosity. The envelope was deep black, the kind of black that seemed to drink in the light around it, sealed with a thick obsidian wax stamp in the shape of a crescent moon. My fingers trembled slightly as I picked it up, not because I was afraid, but because something inside me whispered, "This is going to change everything." I should have listened to that voice. The part of me that still had enough sense to be afraid. But I didn't. I tore the seal open like it belonged to me. And I read, "To the dreamer at the edge of the veil, you are cordially invited to an evening of enchantment beneath the stars. A masquerade of midnight and memory, hosted by His Radiance, Prince Valen of the Moonlit Court. Formal attire required. Fear optional. Midnight. Tonight. You'll know the way when it's time." That was all. No return address. No RSVP. No explanation. Just an invitation to vanish into madness. I laughed. Out loud. I actually laughed. "Yeah, okay," I muttered, rolling my eyes. "Nice LARP invite. Real subtle." I was about to toss it onto the cluttered coffee table next to an unpaid bill and a dried-out succulent when the apartment shifted. It was so slight I almost didn't notice it. A shudder in the air. Like the world had taken a deep breath and was holding it, waiting. The lights dimmed. My reflection in the window warped, stretched unnaturally, then snapped back into place like a rubber band. And then I heard it. Music. Not from the neighbor's apartment or the old record player I hadn't touched in months. No, this came from somewhere else. From underneath things. Like the bones of the building were singing. Soft. Sinister. Beautiful. I stood there, frozen in place, the letter still in my hand. And I swear to God, it felt like the ink was still wet. My heartbeat stuttered. I blinked. And the city was gone. No crash. No pain. Just absence. Like someone had quietly plucked me from one reality and dropped me into another. Suddenly I was standing in a forest that wasn't a forest. Trees twisted like dancers mid-spin, leaves shimmering like silver coins under a violet sky. The moon was wrong. Too big. Too close. Too aware. And in the distance, music played. Strings. Wind. Drums. A rhythm that tugged at something inside me I hadn't known was hungry. I looked down. The letter was gone. So were my jeans and sweatshirt. In their place, I wore a gown spun from shadow and starlight. It clung to me like a secret I hadn't told yet, cool against my skin, and trailing behind me in a stream of dusk. "Okay," I whispered to no one, voice shaking. "So this is either a dream, a psychotic break, or..." I didn't finish the sentence. Because in that moment, a figure stepped from the trees. Tall. Pale. Radiating power the way fire radiates heat. Casual, effortless, lethal. His hair was white, not aged but elemental, flowing like moonlight caught in a waterfall. His eyes, God, his eyes were silver and shifting, like mercury stirred by a storm. He smiled, and my knees nearly gave out. "Welcome, my little flame," he said, voice smooth as silk wrapped around a dagger. "I was beginning to think you'd decline." "Aye, what the hell is this?" I stammered, backing up a step. "Where am I?" His smile deepened. "You read the invitation. You accepted. You crossed the veil. You came willingly. That makes you mine. For the night." "The fuck? Oh," he chuckled, stepping closer. She curses. "Good. I prefer my dancers with a little fight." And just like that, he offered his hand. It was a command wrapped in a gesture of politeness. The music swelled, pulsing through the trees like blood. Everything inside me screamed, "Don't touch him. Don't touch anything." But I took his hand anyway. Because curiosity is stronger than fear. Because I'd always wondered if there was more than this world. Because something about him felt like a puzzle I was born to solve. His fingers curled around mine, and the forest vanished. We were in a ballroom now. Floating. Literally floating. The entire room suspended in air, stars both above and beneath us. The chandeliers were made of frozen light, dripping with soft blue fire. The guests weren't human. Not all of them. Some had too many eyes. Some shimmered and changed shape when you looked away. But they all bowed as we entered. He guided me to the center of the room, where the floor glittered like crushed diamonds. "Shall we?" he asked, pulling me close. And as the music crashed into a crescendo, and I took that first step with him, I knew. This wasn't a dance. It was a fucking trap. But by then I was already moving to the rhythm. Already part of the spell. Already his. Even if he didn't realize. I had plans of my own. Chapter 2, the dance begins. They say that when the Fae dance with you, they're not moving to music. They're moving to intention. Every step has meaning. Every glance is a question you don't know you're answering. Every spin is a binding. Every dip is a theft. And every time you breathe in their rhythm, you give a little more of yourself away. I should have pulled away the moment his fingers closed around mine. But I didn't. I couldn't. Because from the second we touched, my body stopped belonging entirely to me. It was like being caught in a current. His hand on my waist. His other hand guiding mine. My feet moved of their own accord, compelled by a rhythm that didn't feel entirely external. It felt like it was inside me, twisting with my blood, sinking with my heart. The ballroom was unlike anything I'd ever seen, if it could even be called a ballroom. It didn't obey physics. There were no walls, no ceiling. Just starlight that shimmered like a living thing above us, and clouds rolling below our feet, glowing faintly with a lavender hue that made the whole space feel surreal, like we were dancing on dreams. And maybe we were. The air smelled like honey and lightning. Music floated from unseen musicians. Harps, violins, drums that pulsed like the echo of a heartbeat deep underground. And the guests. Gods. Some looked human at first glance, elegant, hauntingly beautiful, wearing velvet and feathers and gemstones that pulsed like dying stars. But then you noticed the things that didn't quite fit. Eyes too large. Smiles too wide. Movements too smooth, like marionettes with invisible strings. One woman's shadow didn't match her body. One man bowed, and his reflection didn't follow. I saw a figure in a crimson mask whose face blurred every time I looked at them. Another guest shimmered like heat haze and clapped with fingers that weren't fingers at all, but long tendrils of smoke. Yet none of them approached us. They just watched. Like I was the main event. Like he had brought me here to show me off. Or, maybe show me to someone. Or something. "Why are they staring?" I whispered, my voice brittle, like it might break if I dared speak too loudly. The prince, Valen, though he hadn't introduced himself, smiled without looking at me. "They've never seen someone like you before." I frowned. "A human?" "No," he said, spinning me in a wide circle, the hem of my gown catching firelight from nowhere. "A human who hasn't already surrendered." I felt a chill run through me. "How many others have you brought here?" His grip on my waist tightened just slightly, like a warning disguised as affection. "Not enough to matter," he murmured, "but more than you'd be comfortable with." I laughed under my breath, a dry, humorless sound. "And what happens when they do surrender?" He didn't answer. And that silence, it said too much. The dance continued, slow and deliberate. We moved like poetry, tragic and breathless. I could feel the eyes on me, feel their curiosity turning into hunger, into interest. Some of them whispered behind fans. Others tilted their heads like predators watching prey try to pretend it's not bleeding. I forced myself to stay calm, to match the tempo. But inside, I was unraveling. Something about the way he held me, possessive but delicate, felt more dangerous than any brute force. He didn't need to drag me anywhere. He was seducing me into staying. "I want to go home," I said, finally locking eyes with him. He smiled, but it wasn't kind. "That's the thing about this place," he replied, turning us in a slow waltz that made my stomach roll. "Once you've crossed the threshold, the idea of home becomes flexible. I didn't agree to stay. You agreed to dance. And now, now," he whispered, pulling me in so close I could smell night-blooming roses on his breath. "We see how long your feet last." I tried to break away, but the moment I attempted to pull back, my legs buckled. Pain shot through my calves like I'd just run a marathon barefoot. He caught me, of course. Effortlessly. Too effortlessly. And everyone watching laughed. Not cruelly. No, worse, it was amused. Delighted. Like watching a child stumble on a stage. Like I was a performance. Not a person. "You're draining me," I hissed, my voice laced with something sharp now. "This isn't dancing. This is bonding," he interrupted, gently brushing hair from my face. "You see, mortal hearts are curious things. They open so easily, especially when they think they're in control. I'm not falling for you. I don't need you to fall," he said softly. "I only need you to believe that falling is a choice." He lifted my hand, pressed his lips to my wrist, and I felt something slip into me. Not physically, psychically. Like a thread had been tied around my pulse. A thread made of silver and secrets. My breath hitched. "Do you feel it?" he asked. I nodded before I could stop myself. "Good," he purred. "That's your first tether. The more we dance, the more threads I'll tie. Some to your body. Some to your name. Some to things you don't even know you carry. What the fuck do you want from me?" I snapped. He tilted his head, genuinely amused. "Now that's the right question." He didn't answer, of course. Instead, he spun me again, faster this time. So fast the world became blur and starlight. My dress ignited with sparks. My skin tingled with a heat that wasn't entirely mine. And then we stopped. The ballroom went still. Music faded. Every eye in the room turned to him. And he bowed. Not to the crowd. To me. "In this realm," he said, voice low but commanding, "you will be watched. You will be tested. You will be tempted." I blinked, dizzy, my heart slamming against my ribs. "And when you fail," he added, stepping back, his smile now sharp as broken glass, "you'll thank me for it." The crowd began to cheer. A sound like wind through dead trees. And just like that, he vanished. The dance floor emptied. The music returned, but slower, stranger, like it was being played backward. I stood there alone, breathless, shaking, with invisible threads tying me to something I didn't understand. Something ancient. Something patient. Something already inside me. The dance had begun, and I had no idea how to stop it. Chapter 3, The Glamour of Control. I stopped counting the days after the second moon passed overhead, mostly because there was no sun to mark them with. Just a pale silver orb that drifted lazily across a lavender sky. Sometimes circling twice in what felt like one waking stretch, sometimes not appearing at all. Time bent here not like a concept but like a living creature. Stretching, coiling, curling up and purring in corners where I couldn't reach it. I didn't know how long I'd been here. Hours? Days? Weeks? All I knew was that the version of me who had accepted the letter, she was already starting to fade. I tried in the beginning to hold on. To remember. My apartment. The hum of the city at night. The sharp taste of instant coffee. The way my sheets always twisted around my legs in sleep. I clung to those details like lifelines. But they slipped, one by one, like water through clenched fists. And Valen, he didn't take my memories. He made me forget I wanted them. That's how the glamour worked. Not through violence. Not through force. Through seduction. Through subtlety. Through comfort. Because the palace was beautiful. A kind of cruel, impossible beauty designed to lower your guard. It knew exactly how to feed you, visually, emotionally, spiritually. The halls changed depending on your mood. If I was restless, they became wide corridors with windows that opened into starfields. If I was sad, the stone glowed with soft firelight and echoed with music I couldn't name but somehow remembered. Every night, the ballroom lit up like a heartbeat. Every night, they danced, guests of all kinds, creatures that existed only in myths back home. And every night, Valen asked me to join him. And I did, because saying no didn't feel like an option. Not because he threatened me, but because he smiled. That smile, it made me forget why I ever wanted to say no. The truth is, I wanted to resist him. I did, but resistance didn't look like it did in the movies. It wasn't me screaming in defiance or smashing things or trying to run. It was quieter. It was staying silent when he walked into a room. It was pretending not to care that he knew exactly how I liked my tea. It was hating that I noticed when he didn't show up for dinner. It was waking up in a bed made of stardust and obsidian sheets, with no memory of how I got there, and wondering, did he carry me here? Did I walk here myself? Did it even matter anymore? Because I still remembered my name, but it didn't taste the same in my mouth. I still had thoughts, but they came slower, like they had to pass through velvet before reaching me. I still looked like myself, mostly. But sometimes, when I caught my reflection in the palace mirrors, there was something off. My eyes shimmered faintly, like they'd been kissed by moonlight. My skin glowed, softly, faintly, like I'd swallowed starlight. And Valen watched it all with that same calm, endless expression, like a scientist observing a flower bloom in a jar, behind glass under control. "You're adjusting," he told me once, as we sat beside the moon basin, a shallow pool that reflected not water, but memories. "Your mind is beginning to soften. Is that a good thing?" I asked, staring into the pool. He tilted his head. "It depends. Would you rather survive this place, or fight it until it consumes you?" "I didn't ask to come here. You accepted the invitation." I didn't know what it meant. He leaned in close, breath against my ear. "No one ever does. That's what makes it a choice." That night, I dreamed of vines wrapped around my wrists, pulling me gently into the earth. And when I woke, I had petals in my hair. He never chained me. There were no locks on the doors. No guards. No visible barriers. But every time I thought about leaving, I forgot where the exits were. I'd try to walk toward the edge of the gardens, and somehow I'd end up back at the marble fountain. I'd attempt to trace the halls toward the northern archway, and the floor would shift underfoot, tilting me toward the grand staircase like a gentle nudge. A suggestion. The palace didn't confine me. It redirected me. And that was almost worse, because I started to doubt my own mind. Maybe I wasn't remembering the halls right. Maybe I did want to stay deep down. Maybe this place understood me better than the world I came from. Maybe I belonged here. Valen didn't push that idea on me. He just let me say it aloud. And once I did, he said nothing. He just smiled. That night, I danced with him longer than usual. My hands moved without thought. My feet followed without pain. The music wound through me like silk thread stitched to my spine. And for the first time, I didn't feel like I was pretending. I felt like I was becoming. Afterward, he walked me to my chamber, the one with silver curtains and a bed that breathed like clouds. He paused outside the door. "Do you know what the difference is between glamour and truth?" he asked. I shook my head, half asleep. "Glamour is the truth you want to be real." Then he placed something in my hand. A mirror. Small, circular. No bigger than a coin. "Use it when you forget who you are," he said. I opened my mouth to ask him what that meant, but he was already gone. I stared at the mirror for hours that night, but I didn't dare look into it. Not yet. Because a part of me was scared of what I'd see. Was it still me? Or was it someone else? Or, worse, was it someone who wanted to stay? Chapter 4, The Test of Devotion. You don't realize you're in a prison until you try to leave. But you don't realize you're being trained until you're handed a test. The morning of the ritual came like a whisper in the dark. There was no dawn. Iloria didn't believe in such pedestrian things as sunrise. There was only a shift in the air, subtle but certain, as though the palace had exhaled something it had been holding too long. When I opened my eyes, I already knew. Something had changed. My chamber smelled different, less like roses and wine, more like burnt herbs and blood. Faint but unmistakable. My skin prickled before my brain caught up. The threads Valen had been weaving into me, those invisible tethers I pretended not to feel, tightened ever so slightly. And I knew, before my feet even touched the floor, that today would cost me something I wasn't ready to give. There was a dress laid out across the chaise lounge. I hadn't seen it before. It shimmered not with light, but with absence. It was made of void, midnight spun into silk, with hems that moved like smoke. I hesitated before touching it, but the moment my fingers grazed the fabric, it reshaped itself around me like water around a stone. It fit too well, as if it had always belonged to me. When I looked in the mirror, I didn't recognize myself. The girl staring back wore danger like perfume. Her eyes were sharper, colder, and flickered with an emotion I couldn't name. Her lips curved into something that wasn't quite a smile, but it wasn't fear either. It was closer to surrender, or maybe power. I turned away before I could decide which. The door opened before I reached it. Valen. Of course. His suit was silver this time, woven with threads of ice and shadow. No crown, but he didn't need one. Authority dripped from him like nectar. His eyes swept over me, and something in his jaw flexed. Approval. Possession. You look. He paused, then stepped forward, brushing a curl from my cheek. Ready. I swallowed hard. Ready for what? The test. My spine stiffened. He offered his hand, and because I didn't know how to refuse anymore. Not really, I took it. He led me not to the ballroom, but somewhere deeper. Through hallways I'd never seen. Past doors that pulsed like living things. The walls changed the farther we went, becoming darker, more ancient, carved with runes that vibrated when we passed. The palace no longer purred like a docile beast. Now it watched. We arrived at a stone circle under a sky that bled violet and gold. In the center, a pool of black water rippled silently, surrounded by a ring of glowing sigils. Fae courtiers stood along the edges, faces masked, silent, their eyes locked on me. Waiting. At the head of the circle stood a pedestal with two objects on it. A blade thin, curved beautiful. And a vial, small, made of glass so dark it was almost opaque. I turned to Valen. What is this? His voice was calm. Too calm. A rite of allegiance, he said. Every guest who wishes to remain must pass it. Remain. I repeated, the word like lead in my mouth. You never said. I said there would be tests. I said devotion would be measured. This is that measure. I looked around. And what happens if I fail? A pause. Then, you forget. My stomach dropped. You mean I go home? No, he said softly. You stay. But you forget who you are. Who you were. You become. Ours. Entirely. Something inside me screamed. I didn't know if it was anger or fear, or the last untouched part of me trying to claw its way to the surface. I faced the pedestal. What do I have to do? He stepped beside me and gestured to the two items. The vial contains your last memory of the mortal world. The scent of your home. The name of the person who loved you most. The warmth of the sun. All of it bottled. Precious. Fragile. I stared at it. Something inside me ached. And the blade? I asked. That, he said, voice smooth, is to be used on someone else. What? Someone brought here before you. Someone who failed. They wander now, untethered. You will see them. You must offer them a gift, a mercy. A cut. Just enough to make them remember what pain is. Just enough to mark that you are not them. I recoiled. You want me to hurt someone? He didn't answer. Just looked at me. And then softly. You may choose. Drink the memory. Or offer the mark. The circle fell silent. Every eye bore down on me. It was a trick. It had to be. A manipulation wrapped in ritual. A no-win scenario. And yet, I stepped forward. From the far end of the circle, a figure appeared. A girl. My age. Dressed in something torn and once beautiful. Her eyes were glazed. Her hair fell limp, gray at the edges. She looked hollow. Faded. Like she'd been here far, far too long. And I knew. I knew. That was me. Or would be if I made the wrong choice. She didn't speak. Didn't resist. Just stood there waiting. A puppet without strings. My hand hovered over the blade. Then the vial. Then the blade again. My breath hitched. I reached for the vial. It was warm in my hand. I could feel it, a heartbeat trapped in glass. The thrum of sunlight. Laughter. My name whispered by someone who loved me. My mother's voice. A song I used to hum when I couldn't sleep. If I drank it, I would lose the only memory tying me to who I once was. But if I took the blade, if I marked her, I would become something else entirely. So I did neither. I lifted the vial and poured it into the pool. Gasps echoed around me. The water hissed. Glowed. The girl looked up, for the first time really looked, and I swear something flickered behind her eyes. Recognition. I stepped back. Valen's smile was unreadable. You chose mercy, he said. I chose not to play your fucking game. I snapped. He didn't flinch. Instead, he bowed his head just slightly. The court is watching, he said. And you just changed the rules. The girl disappeared. The blade vanished. The pedestal sank into the ground. The circle shimmered. And then it was over. The guests dissolved into mist. The courtyard faded. And I was back in my room. Alone. With the mirror he'd given me still on the table. Only now, when I looked into it, I didn't see myself. I saw the girl I'd saved. And behind her, Valen's eyes. Watching. Always watching. Chapter 5, Cracks in the Facade. There's a moment, quiet, so soft you almost miss it, when illusion begins to lose its grip. It doesn't come with fire. Or screaming. Or shattering glass. It comes with a pause. A silence that shouldn't be there. And in that silence, something clicks. A thought. A doubt. A whisper from the version of yourself you thought you'd buried. That's how it began for me. With a pause. It happened 3 nights after the ritual. I was walking alone in the West Garden, the one lined with moon-blooming lilies and fountains that sang lullabies if you leaned in close enough. The path was glowing softly beneath my feet, each stone lighting up as I stepped. Eloria still bent to please me, still treated me like an honored guest, or a fragile doll. But something was off. Not the sky, not the air. Me, because when I bent to touch one of the lilies, it didn't hum like it usually did. Its petals closed, rejected my hand, and for the first time since arriving, the realm didn't respond to me. That silence? It unnerved me. I didn't know then what it meant, but I would soon. Valen visited me less after the ritual. I thought that meant I had passed some unspoken test, earned his trust, or his boredom. I told myself that was good, but part of me, God help me, missed him. His presence, as sinister as it was, had become a constant, like the thrum of electricity in a wall. You don't hear it until it's gone. I found myself seeking him in mirrors, in footsteps behind doors, in shadows that lingered too long. I hated that about myself. Hated the dependency he'd carved into me like a groove in stone. So I started looking away. And that's when I began to see. It started with the mirror. The small one he'd gifted me after the first dance. Until now, I hadn't dared look too deeply into it. It had always felt dangerous. Like it didn't reflect me, but monitored me. But that night I picked it up, held it, whispered my name to it, and for the first time, it didn't shimmer. It fractured, just slightly. A hairline crack ran across the surface. And when I looked into it, I didn't see myself. I saw a room, one I hadn't entered. Stone walls, chains, a pale girl curled in a corner, eyes hollow, whispering the same word over and over again. Dance, dance, dance. The mirror pulsed once, then went dark. I nearly dropped it. Eloria wasn't just a palace. It was a prison, with floors I hadn't seen, rooms I wasn't meant to know existed, people I hadn't been told about. And Valen, he wasn't just a host. He was a warden. The next day, I tested the halls. I walked with purpose. Didn't let the palace guide me. I ignored the subtle tilts in the floor, the whispers in the arches. I resisted the flow. It fought me, softly at first, redirecting paths, moving doors. But I kept pushing. Eventually, I found a hallway I didn't recognize. One that felt colder, less glamored. The marble was cracked here. The walls didn't sing. And the torches flickered like they hadn't been fed magic in years. And at the end, one door. Wood. Old. Burned. It opened with a touch. Inside, books. Hundreds of them. Not glamored tomes or magical scrolls. Actual books. Journals. Personal accounts. I opened the nearest one. Pages yellowed, the handwriting jagged. Day 189. I stopped dreaming last night. I think Valen took them. I tried to confront him, but I couldn't find the ballroom. My reflection won't meet my eyes anymore. I think I'm forgetting how to be angry. I flipped to another entry. Day 302. The others don't speak. I don't think they remember how, but I remember my brother's voice. I say his name out loud every day, just to hold something. Another. Day 419. I gave in. I told him I loved him. I think he smiled. But it wasn't joy. It was ownership. I stepped back from the shelf like it had burned me. And that's when I realized what the real spell was. Not the dancing. Not the glamour. It was erasure. Eloria didn't trap your body. It erased context. Who you were. Why you mattered. Why you ever wanted to leave. And Valen, he didn't steal you. He made you willing. That night I did something dangerous. I asked him a real question. We stood at the edge of the ballroom, where the lights never quite reached. He wore black again, all edges and shadow. I let him take my hand, let him lead me in one of his flawless, predatory waltzes. And when our chests were nearly touching, I whispered, "How many?" He didn't pretend not to understand. His smile was slow, measured. "Too many. Why me?" He spun me. "Because you glowed. That's not an answer. It's the only one I'll give." I stopped moving, dead in the middle of the dance floor. The music faltered, just for a beat. The room watched. "Tell me the truth," I said. He leaned close, his voice barely a breath. "I never lie," he said. "I simply offer prettier versions of pain." I didn't move, didn't speak, just looked at him. And for a flicker of a moment, I saw it. A crack in his glamour. It was brief. His skin shifted. His features flickered, like a mask struggling to hold. And beneath, something older. rotted, burning, a face not made of flesh but hunger. Then it was gone. His charm returned, smile intact, eyes gleaming, but I had seen, and now, I couldn't unsee. Back in my room, I stared at the mirror again. The girl in it looked back at me, but this time she smiled, not like Valen, like me, like a girl remembering her fire. And I whispered the truth to her. You broke him, even if he doesn't know it yet. Chapter 6, The Masquerade Reversed. Every kingdom has a night they call sacred. In Eloria, it's called the Eclipse Masquerade. It's the only time of year when the twin moons align, casting no shadow and no light, just a void in the sky. On this night, the Fae Court doesn't dance for amusement. They dance for position, for secrets, for control. And I'd learned enough to know exactly what kind of control I wanted to take back. Valen called it a celebration of devotion. But I knew better. It was theater, a performance, a ritual dressed in satin and silver and whispered enchantments. Every guest would arrive wearing a mask. Every truth would be veiled. Every lie would be allowed to breathe. And I was going to wear his. I'd been planning for days. Quietly, cunningly, the mirrors in my room had stopped showing me just reflections. They showed me versions, ones I could try on. One of them looked like me, only colder, regal. A little more fey than human. One wore sorrow like a crown. Another wore rage in her eyes like a dagger tucked into a boot. But one, she wore intent. So I chose her. She became my guide. While Valen stayed distracted, conversing with ministers of Starlight and blade-willed ambassadors from the Ice Courts, I moved in silence. I mapped out hidden corridors, watched the way the palace tilted when it didn't want someone to go a certain way. I memorized the rhythms, and on the night of the Eclipse Masquerade, I dressed not as a guest, but as a game piece turned player. The gown I chose wasn't one the court gave me. It was stolen, taken from a vault 2 levels below the Eastern Garden, a place where broken rules whispered in crystal and walls were carved with warnings in a language older than anything I'd heard in Eloria. It shimmered like oil and bone, tight at the waist, cascading like smoke to the floor. The sleeves were long, but open, flowing like bat wings when I moved. The color indescribable, like dusk after a forest fire. It made my skin look paler, my eyes darker. But the centerpiece was the mask. I made it myself, from a piece of enchanted glass shattered in the west wing. It was molded to resemble Valen's own, perfectly. Every arch of bone, every angle, every smirk. When I placed it over my face, I became him. Not just in look, but in presence. And when I entered the ballroom, no one knew. Not right away. Because the ballroom wasn't like before. It had been transformed. The chandeliers had been dimmed, replaced with floating orbs of shadow light. They pulsed in rhythm to a heartbeat I didn't recognize. The floor was no longer marble, but obsidian, mirror-shined, so we danced on our own reflections. The walls bled silver mist. And the music. It was new. Chaotic. Offbeat. Wild. Fitting. Because tonight, I wasn't there to follow. I was there to orchestrate. The moment I entered, heads turned. Not because they recognized me, but because I felt like him. I carried myself like royalty, like something sacred and untouchable. Every step I took echoed longer than it should have. The glamour didn't fight me, it yielded. That's when I knew I had it. Real power. Not granted. Not begged for. Taken. Valen stood at the far end of the ballroom, masked in midnight feathers and woven starlight. He hadn't seen me yet. He was speaking with 2 shadow courtiers, both of whom paused mid-sentence when they spotted me approaching. He turned, and I watched it. That moment, that fracture in his perfect calm. He didn't show fear, but I saw recognition, because he knew his mask, and now I wore it. We locked eyes. I tilted my head, mocking, regal, controlled. His lips parted slightly, but he said nothing. Instead, he extended his hand. I took it, and we danced. This time I led. Our movements were fluid, fast, feral. We spun like a storm. The court watched in silence. They felt the shift, even if they didn't know what caused it. Valen leaned close, his lips brushing the edge of my mask. You're playing a dangerous game, he whispered. So are you, I murmured back. I taught you this, he said. I made you. Then you should have made me weaker. The music surged. I turned us in a tight circle, then dipped him. Yes, I dipped him. The ballroom gasped. He gritted his teeth but didn't break character. When I raised him back up, I slipped my mask off for just a moment. Just enough for him to see. And his breath caught. His eyes, those silver shifting storms, widened. Impossible, he said. No, I whispered. Inevitable. I stepped back. The court stirred. Eyes turned. Whispers bloomed. That was all I needed. A seed of doubt. A crack in the story. Because if Valen could be mirrored, if his face could be worn, then what else about him was borrowed? What else had been performed? The illusion of control only lasts as long as the audience believes in it. And tonight, I was stealing his spotlight. After the dance, he tried to corner me, tried to guide me away from the crowd. But I didn't follow. Instead, I moved toward the mirror gate at the center of the ballroom. An ancient relic. A sealed door. It only opens once a year. On this night, to someone who bears the face of the realm's sovereign. And tonight, that was me. I reached the gate, placed my palm against it. It pulsed, recognizing the mask I wore, the presence I carried, the rebellion coiled in my chest. And it began to open. The crowd gasped again. Some bowed. Some screamed. One fae fell to their knees and began praying. Because only one being is meant to open that gate. Valen. And yet, here I stood. Alive. Whole. Wearing him. Valen rushed forward. His hand caught my wrist. He looked desperate. More than I'd ever seen. You don't understand what's behind that door, he said. Maybe not, I replied. But I understand you now. You'll lose yourself. I already did, I whispered. And I found someone better. He hesitated. Just a moment. Just long enough. I stepped into the gate. And the world split. I emerged somewhere else. Somewhere deep. Somewhere hidden. The original throne room. Dust-covered. Forgotten. And at the center. A mirror. Not just any mirror. The mirror. The first glamour. The source. And I knew with absolute clarity. To break Valen's spell, I'd need to show him his true reflection. Not the one he wore, but the one he hid. And for that, I had to go back. Not as his pawn, not even as his equal, but as his undoing. Chapter 7, The Final Step. You can only lie to a mirror for so long. Eventually it shows you what you are, whether you're ready or not. And tonight, Valen was going to see himself. Unmasked. Unloved. Undone. I didn't sleep after stepping through the mirror gate. Sleep was for those who still wanted to forget. And I remembered everything. Every manipulation. Every silk-wrapped threat. Every stolen memory disguised as a gift. I remembered my name. My real one. Not the one the palace whispered back to me, soft and foreign on its tongue. And I remembered why I came here in the first place. Not to belong. Not to serve. Not even to survive. But to win. I stood in the ruins of the original throne room. The scent of cold stone and magic long forgotten clinging to the air. The floor beneath me was etched with runes that pulsed faintly beneath my feet, like old scars remembering pain. And there at the center was the mirror. Tall. Cracked. Wrapped in thorned vines that shimmered like glass. It didn't reflect light. It drank it. This was the mirror of origin. The first glamour. The first lie. The one Valen used centuries ago to become what he is. But mirrors, I've learned, never destroy truth. They just delay it. When I returned to the main palace, I didn't hide. Not anymore. The realm felt me coming. The air shifted. Magic whispered behind walls. Shadows stiffened and watched me pass. And Valen? He was waiting. At the top of the obsidian stairs, his silhouette framed by that lavender moonless sky. Cloaked in a robe stitched from sorrow and silk, wearing the mask of indifference like it was skin. But I saw the tension in his stance. He knew, even before I said a word. Where have you been? He asked, voice too casual to be real. Where you never thought I'd go, I replied, meeting his gaze. To the beginning. His jaw tightened. That place is forbidden. That place is truth. He descended a single step slowly. You don't understand the weight of what you carry. I do. Finally. That's the problem. He hesitated. The first real hesitation I'd seen in him since the night we met. So I kept going. You didn't just trap mortals in this place, Valen. You trapped yourself. You've spent so long maintaining the illusion that you're in control, you forgot how to live without it. I am in control, he said. But the edge in his voice betrayed him. No, you're addicted to control. You don't know who you are without someone else to reflect you. That's why you need the masquerade, the dances, the rituals. You're just a shadow that needs light to exist. He snarled, low and guttural. You know nothing of me. Oh, but I do, I said, pulling the shard of the mirror from my sleeve. And so will you. I held it up, and his mask cracked. Just slightly. No, he whispered, stepping back. Don't you dare. But it was too late. The shard pulsed. The sky darkened. The air trembled. And the image in the mirror lit up. It didn't show him as he stood. It showed what he had become, a hollow-eyed creature, face sagging with the weight of centuries of lies, a being stitched from regret and envy and unending hunger. Not regal, not divine, just broken, just bound, Valen screamed. It wasn't rage, not entirely. It was recognition, and behind that scream, something else shattered. A sound like bells falling into water, like silence being torn in half. The palace groaned, the glamour holding the realm together buckled. I dropped the shard, and all around me mirrors, those lining the halls, hidden in the glass of chandeliers, buried beneath the ballroom floor, exploded. Not violently, elegantly, like illusions quietly surrendering. The guests began to blink, to see. Their masks fell away, revealing faces, some terrified, some furious, some lost. One by one, the spell lifted. The prisoners woke up. The palace howled. Valen dropped to one knee, breathing hard, eyes wide, hands trembling. "You've broken everything," he said, voice ragged. "You don't understand what you've done." "I've given them back themselves." He looked up at me, and for the first time I saw him. Not the prince, not the predator, just the boy he had been before the mirror. Alone, terrified, begging the glamour to love him because no one else would. And I did what he never did for me. I told the truth. "You were never a god," I said softly. "Just someone who couldn't bear to be seen." Tears welled in his eyes. "Real. Shocking. Then finish it," he whispered. "Destroy me." I stepped forward, placed my hand on his cheek, and I said the one word that he feared more than death. "No." His breath hitched. "Live with it," I said. "Live with everything you are. No more mirrors. No more masks. Just you. And the silence you've drowned for centuries." He broke. Not with fury. With grief. He wept like glass melting. And the palace dimmed. Not into ruin. But into peace. A softness I hadn't felt since arriving. Like the land itself had been exorcised. I didn't leave that night. Not right away. I walked the halls with my name in my mouth. Savoring it. Remembering every step I took as mine. I passed guests waking from centuries of dreams. I whispered kindness to the broken. I gave names back to the nameless. And when I finally stood before the border of the veil, the place where I'd once entered, naive and curious and hungry for magic, I turned back. Valen stood far behind me, watching. He didn't wave. He didn't speak. He just nodded. And for the first time, it wasn't a performance. It was goodbye. When I crossed the threshold, the world surged back. City lights, distant sirens, the scent of asphalt and spring rain. I stood on my balcony, in my apartment. A letter still burned gently on the sill, sealed in obsidian wax, untouched. But I didn't open it this time. I walked past it, because I knew who I was. And I didn't need a fae prince to tell me what I was worth. Not anymore. The dance was over. But the rhythm? It still pulsed inside me. Only now, I was leading.